Good morning to each one. I greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. I do feel a need this morning that y'all would pray for me. This morning I want to start with a few familiar verses in Matthew 5, 1 to 12, where Jesus speaks about the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you, Brother Chris, for sharing this morning on the fear of God. And it makes me wonder if I have the correct fear of God in my heart? Or do I let circumstances and situations overtake that instead of having a peace in my heart of the God that we serve? But let's continue on here, and I want to read one from 12 here. And seeing the multitudes, he went up unto the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed be the poor in spirit, for theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men prevail you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now these are all very beautiful passages that Jesus shared with them there. We could talk a lot about each one. There's one in particular verse here that stood out to me, and I've been thinking about it for the past several weeks. Brother Zach brought it up last week a bit there, and that's the word meek. Meekness. In verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I had to just think about this, and what does that word meek really mean there? What did Jesus mean when he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth? And I know it seems in today's world the word meek is not something too popular. You don't hear it, or if you do hear it, people maybe think, well, that's just a little guy there. He's just real meek, and maybe in a downgrading way even. But as I pondered over this, I realized, and as I studied, that this word meek here was much much more than maybe a weakness or something. It's directed into the Spirit of God in our lives. It's a overing power. This meekness is something that is directed with the Holy Spirit, and that it brings out who Christ wants us to be today. And I think through this, where it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I don't think that we're inheriting earthly things by no means, but that we through a meek spirit can, as we're overcomers and as we have different obstacles in our lives that come our way from day to day, as we handle these situations and as we proceed through life, we count all things but loss. We're not entitled to anything on this earth, and therefore, I don't know. Quote me if I'm wrong here, please. But I believe that that's kind of what he was talking about here in this verse, that we will inherit the earth in that way. I think it means quite the. I think he meant it in some sense the opposite of an inheriting earth, but we inherit way more than that. I have some of my own thoughts here and a few more verses that goes with this. As I just studied different areas throughout the New and Old Testament on these things, and my heart is to maybe lay it out in more of a practical way, if I can do that here. So I also want to share out of Psalms 37, 1-11, Psalm of David here. And we can go in the Old Testament and we can find this here as well. It's all over. There's many people in the Old Testament that had these fruits in their lives, these fruits of meekness. Moses says he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And when you think of Moses and how they put him there in the Jordan as a baby, and how he was adopted, to say, and all the things he went through, and was in the desert for 40 years, and God called to him, you know, in his older age, and at that time he was ready to lead the children of Israel, but before he wasn't, you know, he killed the Egyptian out of anger for, you know, and he had a lot of things that he wasn't prepared for, and that, I think through all that, God was able to humble him, and he was able to be who God wanted him to be. And every time the Lord called upon him, he said, yes, Lord. He didn't say, you know, hey, I'm going to try my own way here for a while and see if we can do it. But he always says, yes, Lord, here I am. And I think that's why Moses would have been the meekest man on the earth there. But I want to draw a few things out of verse, out of chapter 37 here in Psalms. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who perceiveth in his ways, because the man who bringeth wicked deceiveth to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider the place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. Well, we know what happens to evildoers here. They shall be cut off. It makes it very, very clear here that the evildoers shall be cut down like grass and withered away. But there's a few in verse 3 here. I want to pull out trust. I think to be able to have a proper meekness in our lives today, we need to have trust. Can we go throughout our day or our week or fully trusting in the Lord? And he says, trust in the Lord and do good. And he has a blessing there for us. He says it right there. Also in verse 5, I think commit. We need to commit ourselves. To commit ourselves to the Lord and trust in Him. Verse 7, I want to pull out there to wait. Wait patiently on the Lord. As we seek the Lord from day to day for our life, as we seek Him, He asks us to wait on Him. And 8 there it says, cease from anger. And maybe we don't hear from Him right away. Maybe it goes some time. And then our patience may be running thin. Then all of a sudden we want to kind of get upset about this. What's going on here? Why does this have to be? Somewhere it says that be angry and sin not. I don't think we can be upset at God, and I don't think that them fruits wouldn't bring any blessings. So A, it says cease from anger, and down here in 11 again, it says the meek shall inherit the earth. But I also want to pull out here. It says, and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. What's more beautiful than having peace? The peace that in the midst of the storm, and he said, peace be still. The waters are calm. The heart is quiet. We don't have peace in our hearts today. I don't think we'll have meekness. I do want to pull out a passage in Genesis 13:7-12. Talks about Abraham and Lot there. I'll just go ahead and read it. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. For we be brethren. This is not the whole land. Is this not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, for me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will then go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zorah. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now we all know how that went with Lot. But let's take in consideration here Abram and his decision that he made. Maybe sometimes it looks so well, you know. Whatever it is, you know, but we know in our heart that's not. We don't have to put ourselves out there first. We don't have to be there. It's okay to allow maybe to have somebody else walk that road or whatever. But there's tremendous blessings and just being okay with not maybe having or indulging and just things of this world or whatever it may be, just going extreme, and it may look so well at the time, but in the end it brings death, and it brings condemnation, whatever it maybe is. I just thought this was a perfect example again of the spirit of meekness in the Old Testament. And I also want to read out of Genesis 22, 1 to 18. I had to think of Abraham and Isaac. So I'll begin to read this here. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take thou now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place in which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I just marvel again how he traveled for 3 days. And the thoughts that would go through his mind, the things he would think about. But he considered our God and what God had him ask him to do. He had that fear, that fear of God, that he knew wherever God has him now, that's where he wants him. And maybe if you would look forward and see that situation may not turn out how you want it to be, or it may not be how you think it should be, but God had his plan for him. He was doing a work in his heart at that time, and today I need to accept all things in my life, for whatever God brings my way at that time, that I can have the correct fear, the correct meekness of God to go forth and that His will may be done. And they came to the place which God had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh, and it was said to this day that the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heavens a second time, and he said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessings I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall perpass the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Again, just a tremendous lot right there, and blessings for Abraham and us today. Even we don't know God's plan in our life. We don't know why He had us maybe run across this person or whatever it may be. We don't know what He has for us. I believe we as we go through our lives today in this world, we need to be an example to the ones that come in contact with us, and every day we leave something with whoever we meet or speak to, and I believe that if we can have that spirit of meekness that Abraham did, that we will do wonders for and give God glory and honor for what he deserves there. I also want to read a few verses where Jesus spoke in Matthew 11:29-30. They're very familiar verses once again, but there's a tremendous lot in here. If we, as I studied this, I realized even more the example that Christ left us. I'll just go and read this here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I guess just to I change a few words in 29 here to make it very practical. I guess I want to read it that way. It says, "Take my spirit upon you and be like me, Jesus, for I am meek and lowly in everything I do and say. And ye shall find peace in your souls." And I think of this as just as we go through our days, no matter who we meet, maybe he's a tattooed up man, maybe he's got ink up and down his arms here, maybe he's a Vietnam veteran, his words aren't so beautiful. Things he says, it burdens my heart. Can you be meek at that time, or do you get upset and say, "Hey, that what you're saying is not right. It's not godly. Look at your you know, he has helicopters with military men down here on his arm. Maybe he never had an opportunity like I did. Maybe he didn't grow up in a home that had the Bible in it. Can I be an example to him today? 79 or 80 years old, and he's walking with a cane, and he drives around with an electric buggy. He has a broken shoulder, but he swears and gusses. Can I be a light to him? Can I have the right spirit in my heart to be an example to that man? Maybe they don't treat us well. Maybe we know that we were used wrong, or that they look down on us, or whatever it may be. Can we still go on and be kind to them? Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest." I also want to think about and share out of Matthew 21:1-9. It's where Jesus, it's where they got the colt, the young fool, and Jesus rode into Jerusalem there. We all know that. Verse 5 says, "Tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, a king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass of a colt, the fall of an ass." Maybe we're doing real well. Maybe life is treating us real well. We have lots of blessings, and we do today. I don't know what we'd be doing, but maybe somebody's behind you and he's complimenting you, and or she, or whatever it may be. We have that opportunity to have pride. Pride can raise up at any moment there. And I just want to say, I don't feel like I've accomplished, or that I've, that I'm anywhere, you know, that I'm farther ahead in this than anybody here, because I have failed in this myself, and I confess that as sin, and I want to be more of a meek person. But Jesus here would have had the opportunity to allow all kinds of feelings to rise up in his heart. Here I come, riding in here, and all these people are throwing these palm branches down and saying, "Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But it says, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Can we, if we do come today in the name of the Lord, I think it will be blessings. I think it will be blessings. I have some other thoughts here that I wrote down. First things that aren't at all of meekness here. Things I could be or what I am without the spirit of meekness. Rude, rough, proud, uncaring, unforgiving, impatient, selfishness, unteachable, untrustworthy, jealous, rebellious, discontent, not looking to God or the brotherhood for direction, unloving, not being considerate of others. I also want to share the opposite of that, and the positive. I don't want to be up here sharing things that maybe condemning or anything like that. I would rather share here things that are positive. But I understand that to be able to have fruits in our lives, we need to look at the whole picture, because we can't fix nothing, or we can't be who Christ wants us to be if we can't get to the root of something. And that goes for myself. God is still doing a lot of work in my heart for selfishness or whatever it may be in my life, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he allows me to see my needs in that way, and that I am not too hard-hearted not to recognize them. So I want to start here with out of Matthew 6:33. I'm just going to read this verse here before I go through these. These are words of Jesus. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Gentleness, kindness, tenderness, lowliness, forbearing, patience, understanding, submissiveness, humbleness, teachable, trustworthy. Meekness is fearing our Lord and Savior. Meekness is allowing Christ's will to be done and to shine through our lives, no matter what the circumstance may be. Being surrendered. Having meekness is having self-control. Meekness is having power over sin, over Satan and your flesh. And then I wrote down here again, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I also forgot to read on 37 here in Psalms. I wrote down on top, peaceful freedom from fretful anger equals to meekness. There's a passage here out of Romans 12. I just want to touch on briefly here, Romans 12, 1 to 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to be sober, but to think soberly." And I'm gonna stop there. And as I read these verses, and I have to think of a holy meekness. I believe that there's a holy meekness, and it's like a ball of fire, that whatever gets thrown at it or comes its way, that it can destroy that and override that, and that it's a holy meekness. And also here where it says in reasonable service, I believe that we here are servants, and that's our heart. Our heart is to be servants for God and His kingdom, and through this, it takes meekness to be a servant for God. Now, I also want to share a verse out of Galatians 6. It'll be Galatians 6, 1-3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And I wrote a few things down here, and I'll just read them here. Before I find fault in my brother, can I humble myself, cry out to God, search my own heart, lest I myself might be a castaway? I then, in the spirit of meekness, may help restore a hurting heart, and to be there for them, and to care and help carry their load. For this is fulfilling Christ's plan for us. I was just tremendously blessed as I studied over these passages and this word meekness, and I know that there's a lot more that could be said here, and I've only touched on a fraction of what it really is to a sense, and I guess I know there could be a lot more said here, and I was just very blessed as I studied over this, and I was also convicted and realized that I have a lot of needs in my life to where I could be, have more meekness in my everyday life and in my walk. I believe that we sang a song this morning where it says meekness in trial, and I had to just think, can I have meekness in trial? Can I have peace in times of trial when things aren't where I think they should be or in my eyes? Can I have meekness in trial? And I realize my needs there to be able to be more surrendered to the Lord in that way. And I just am very blessed to be here today as well. So I do want to close in a prayer if I may here. Let's pray. Eternal Lord, O Father, Lord God, we do come before you this morning, this day, Lord, this beautiful morning that you've bestowed upon us so gently, Father, the beautiful sunshine, all the The birds were singing, Father, all that you do for us, Lord, we thank you for them, Father. Thank you for the tremendous blessings that you have for us, Lord, each day. But Father, I want to just stop in here and recognize that we all have needs here before you, Lord. And we are made out of flesh here, Lord, and that we seek you this morning, Lord. We cry out to you. Father, we need you. Help us, Father, to grow more into your likeness and image, Father. Help us, Father, to resemble you more in these ways of meekness, Father. Help us, Father, to treat each other with this, Lord, and the ones that we come in contact with, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your tender mercies that you give us, your loving kindnesses, and all that you do for us each day, Lord. Father, do pray also for the brother that will be sharing here, Father. Pray that you bless him, Father. Give him words, Father, from on high, from you, Lord. Anoint his lips, O God. Thank you, Father, for this day. Once again, thank you for being with us here, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord, that you have for each one of us. And most of all, Lord, I think of your Son, Lord, as he was nailed to the cross for each one of us, Father. The meekness that it took, Lord, for him to bear that cross, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing this and for cleansing us from sin, Father. Thank you for the victory, for the power, Lord, that you give us each day with your Spirit, Father. Thank you, God, for all that you do in our lives and hearts. And we just love you. We praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' name.